Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Here we go.
Man, you guys in for a vibes injection today?
Oh, I can't wait.
Maybe. I hope that's not a euphemism.
It's not how you start.
It's how you finish.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the DMBA show.
Let's go.
Let's go. Pop, pop. There it is, live from the Toyota Lounge, driven by your Front Range Toyota stores. Toyota, the official vehicle of DMVR. I feel, you know what, today? I'm just definitely in test drive. The vibes are test drive right now.
Okay.
What kind of car?
Okay.
What kind of Toyota?
I told you, the unofficial car of Colorado. The RAV4.
No, no, it's not. It's the 4Runner.
I'm sorry, the 4Runner. Sorry, the 4Runner. You're right. It's the 4Runner. Yeah, the unofficial car is the 4Runner. I had a RAV4, but it was great. Guys, on today's show, Jokic wins MVP. Very interesting presentation. Some controversy. Some great things said from one Nikola Jokic that really is what started the vibes really coming back. We're going to talk about all of that. And special notes, I have some thoughts about how it all went down, who was there, different things like that. Then we're going to talk about, is this the last one he'll ever win? Is it possible he'll win more? And then later on, I have some controversial takes as I have started to really get into what do I think about Game 3? What does Denver need to do? I think I have the plan. I think I have it, you guys.
Let's send you to Minnesota. Why are you here?
I know. Is Malone watching this?
He told me he'll watch. So that's why I was like, I'll have it on the show too.
Yeah, he also told us he'd come to the bar.
Yeah,
so
he has told us that many times. And then the last segment, we're going to pick up the vibes. We're going to do a vibes reset. It's our last show before tomorrow's game 3.
Boing.
We'll get it going. Over here, Brennan Vogt.
I want to shout out a commenter. You're a star who became a diehard today.
Hell
and
yeah.
is feeling good about it. That's what we need to turn the vibes
about,
around, man. Now's the time to buy in, not run away.
We love the homies, man. The real homies. Over here, D-Line, go.
And with that, you're able to select a shirt of your choice.
Mm.
Speaking of which, you can see it in the corner. Kale,
there it
the
is.
MV3. Let's go. The official MV3 shirt.
This is
DNVR.
My favorite of your MVP shirts.
The only MVP shirt ever made for Jokic. Three-time MVP.
So,
the only shirt out there.
Yes, I took Eastern influence. Eastern as an Eastern European. It felt a little Baltic to me. It felt a little Orthodox to me. And then I got the three-prong crown jester logo that I have personally developed for Jokic that I use all the time. And then the smile, of course. MV3, he's our guy.
He is our guy. It's a gorgeous shirt, Eric. You did a great job.
Thanks,
on this
homie.
One. And then the man with the wind in his hair, Harrison Wind.
That is a gorgeous shirt. Now number one on my power rankings.
Let's go.
Shirts.
Let's go. Everybody's favorite shirt is the new one.
Yeah, the most recent shirt.
Yep. That's about how it goes.
I don't think any of your new stuff's been good.
I know. You're like, I don't know.
You fell off, bro.
there we go.
Yeah.
They're
fine.
Well, the shirt commemorates the third MVP for Nikola Jokic. There was no mystery. We all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But now the moment has finally arrived, and it's time to celebrate a little bit. Yesterday, after practice, you know, the evening, it felt a bit like a celebration. Minus one thing. The very start of the presentation began with Shaq. Somehow the very first thing to happen was Shaq told him, you shouldn't have won it. Let's just get this out of the way because I want good feelings after this.
Yeah.
We joke about how much old heads will always just shit on the modern players and teams and the league at large. And we talk about how the NBA league partners, media partners, seem to always lean into controversy over just telling the stories. This is the worst example ever. If you want to debate whether or not a player deserved it or not, debate that at literally any other time. That was how they introduced Jokic.
Yeah.
That was the introduction. Jokic, congrats on your third MVP. I don't think you should have won it.
Disgusting.
What do you have to say about that? Unbelievable. Honestly, not enough of a deal could be made of this.
Oh, I tweeted about it. I was tweeting about it all night. I was incensed.
It's embarrassing, man.
It really was. I mean, it was embarrassing in the sense that it was like, the weirdest part is that he made it about himself also. Yeah. Like,
well, shocker.
But in the weirdest way, he was like, I came up second place all the time. Like, what is that? Okay. What does that have to do with anything? Like, what does that mean right now? Is that so every year the guy that comes in second place is the guy that should have won because you yourself came in second place many times? Disgusting, Shaq. I literally expect an apology.
But
I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It really is the kind of, everybody made the comparison to Kanye, interrupting Taylor Swift. Yeah. It was literally the exact same thing.
Yes.
That's not the time, the place, or the way to do
except
it.
Except if the awards presenter took it back to say. Yeah.
But what's interesting, though, is yes, all the old heads hate on the current generation of players, but they generally like Jokic. Jokic is a guy that actually a lot of the all-time greats stand up for and say he does it the right way. He plays the game the right way. He conducts himself in the right way. But Shaq has turned into a Nikola Jokic hater, actually from a guy who it seems like used to respect him a lot more.
Yeah.
And Shaq was a guy who always trumped for Jokic going back a couple of years. It's been a weird turn over, the last year or so, ever since he won the championship. Shaq's been hating a lot.
Because the Big Man Alliance was a safe space for him to both prop up and constructively critique bigs that were almost as good as he was.
Right.
I am the president of this Big Man Alliance because I was the last great center. So here are these centers that are almost as good as I was, and I'm the authority on this. Except with Jokic is in danger, if not objectively, having already surpassed him. And it is no longer a safe and cute thing for Shaq to just love Jokic.
Is he worried about his legacy?
Hell yes, he is.
Maybe it is that, guys. Maybe it is that. But even with that, here's my point. There's like this like anti-traditionalism, where it's like, all right, what do? We make content, we make controversy, and this is who we are. And sometimes it's like, the ceremony can just be the ceremony.
Right.
We don't have to improve this part. Right, it's just, congratulations, how does it feel? Who do you want to shout out? Like, there's a formality to that moment that doesn't need to be like, let's throw the sweetener in.
Right.
What if we got a debate?
It's like, you guys are on TV every single night now that it's the playoffs. Can you not just save this for the next time Thunder are playing?
Literally any time you could have had
a pregame show, a halftime show, a postgame show.
Yep.
You've got some segments where you can start this discussion that aren't happening right now.
Right.
But you know what? As Yoke always does, he was above it. Didn't seem bothered by it the way we all are.
He was bumped at the beginning. He was like,
are you really going here?
But he was like, we don't judge here. So it was like so awkward. Right.
Well,
man.
Thankfully, Shaq's question was like 4 minutes long. So he had time to sit there and be like, oh, we're going here first. Like, okay, thank you. But nonetheless, I don't want to make this a bummer. That's out of the way. Everything else about it was awesome, including the presser that he gave. You were there, Wynn. Walk us through it.
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, the Nuggets did a great job with this, man.
They really did.
The video of, Jokic's wife narrating, his journey to three MVPs was awesome.
We never get that.
Never.
When has Natalia done an interview been participating?
I've never heard her voice before.
And she doesn't need to, but I think it's really cool that she did this.
Very cool, man. Yep. And the reaction shot of him seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, him watching it with his kid. The photos behind the scenes. It was interesting that Jamal Murray was the one player that was there in the room with him.
Well, Mitch, I want to bring that up here in a second.
Okay.
I will say, nothing makes the passage of time seem faster than children growing. Little baby Ognjena, enormous.
I know.
It's like, I remember that kid was born. Now, I don't know how old she is, 5-6 years old, but she's all big. She's probably looking around.
Probably like 3 or so.
I guess it is a 7-footer's child. So.
And just a quick aside.
Boat size.
Quick aside, shout, and I put this on Twitter, shouts to the creative team over at the Dungeon.
Yes, totally. Austin,
they're really doing interesting things. They're really upping their game, and it's not going unnoticed. So
Yeah.
All the videos, all the stuff, all the graphics they put out have been really cool.
We talked about wanting to see the organization evolved with Jokic.
Yeah.
The Warriors did that with Steph, right? Yep. The Warriors were a laughingstock. It is hard to remember now. And they saw what was happening, and they leveled up. And lately, I've seen that, in these ways, from the Nuggets organization. I think this stuff has been really impressive lately. And there's, I don't know, it just feels a bit more like the standard of the league, what they're doing as an
organization. And yet, at the same time, it also still feels small in the right way. And that's what's so cool, is this felt well done and not cheap. But yes, intimate and like, oh, it's his family. You know, and that it was so perfect cool. For I actually really liked it. Yeah. I just hated the Shaq part of it.
Yeah, because it sucked, but whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, then Jokic had the presser last night.
Well, maybe we'll save the presser for two, but you brought up, okay. Well, I'm just saying, well, because we're running later on time than I expected. But bring up the Murray part of this, because don't you feel, Wynn, that that's a little bit meaningful here?
Yeah, because they had practice in the morning at 11, 12, and then this didn't happen until 5:30. So it was interesting that Jamal Murray was the only player there, you know, still at the facility. I'm guessing he was just there the whole time getting treatment or whatnot. Maybe he went home and came back. I don't know. But it was just Jamal. I think Ogi Stojakovic was there too. You know, a guy who's been an assistant in Denver for Jokic's entire career. Charles Clask, another assistant. And then Jokic's family. And that was it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was notable.
I think it was very notable as well. And when you like look, probably it's just that he was there and was there for him and there was nothing there. But I do feel like, look, let's not kid ourselves. The Nuggets are in a moment in time and Murray and Jokic are in a moment in time. And being able to either get away from everything and just celebrate a moment in and of itself is positive, and perhaps maybe lend itself to an opportunity of discussion. Either way, it's a cool thing that he was part of there and part of it.
Yeah. Maybe like the 5 hours between practice and the presentation, they were just game planning the whole time.
I watched
film for 5 hours.
I liked it.
Just them two.
Grinding tape.
Yeah, absolutely grinding.
And Jokic has to go and follow through on the court now. And got to be honest, man, when you just put it like that, is there money on him doing this or not? I would say yes. He has to go and follow through on the court. But this maybe can serve as a reminder to 2 through 8 on this team. Most teams down 2-0 after losing home court advantage, you're screwed. What's one condition that would make you feel differently? Having the best player in the world. What's a nice reminder? Watching him win the MVP award. Now, can he just drop a reminder game in game 3, a bona fide true one, a playoff level one? That can be enough. That can be enough to rally the troops. Like Christian Brown said, right? It's confidence. And what could boost your confidence more than a reminder like, oh yeah, he's on our team.
Yep.
And I think there's a chance. And now Jokic, his quotes haven't inspired a ton of confidence that he's ready to deliver some message or change, turn
when
the tides
here. Yeah, I was going to say, kind of par for the course.
Thank you, Eric. Par for the course. So while he himself may not be this emotional kind of hammer dropping in this moment, it can still have that effect for the rest of the team that runs differently, that runs on confidence and emotion. I would think it's nice to remind yourselves that when that guy's on the floor, you've got a chance.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into some of these notes or only on the other side? I'll ask this one. Does this do anything for his reputation? This is a weird one in that I feel like, and perhaps it's just the moment in time, when you go back and look at the legacy, 3 MVPs will mean a lot more.
Yeah.
But in years past, you win 2. It was so validating, right? He won 1, and then he won a second one, and it was like, okay, this, that. You won the championship. Enormously validating. I feel like this one is in a weird spot where it almost just feels the same. You know what I mean? Well, even all of it kind of came and went quickly.
I think it's just that the Nuggets are in such a weird space right now. Like, if it had come after a dramatic win, I think we would feel very triumphant.
Okay.
But after game 2, people have been talking to me. I like come up, just people in the streets are like, oh, man.
Streets are talking.
I mean, it's like people are talking to me like a...
Your dentist?
Yes.
Really?
My dentist was like talking to me as though my parent died.
Do you go to the same dentist as Vogt?
Does Vogt go to the dentist?
Vogt always talks about how his dentist is trying to talk to him about the Nuggets.
I sat down in the chair. The dentist was like, oh, I saw when the Coyotes were contracted that PHNX was the source. I thought, oh, Eric. And then they started talking to me about how my family had died in that the current state of the Nuggets. So
that's hilarious.
It's just like this comes at a time where vibes couldn't be lower. And so it feels like like unjust in a way. Like there's just no way after, like if it had happened directly after the first round,
oh yeah,
that we wouldn't have got that garbage from Shaq. We wouldn't have gotten anything. It's just people have been like, hell yeah. Cause as the season ended, it was like, oh, this is the best big man, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's just right now he seems mortal. And so people are like questioning it. It's bizarre.
I think it's good.
No, I mean, if this had happened after game 5 of the Lakers, we're talking about the narrative is Nikola Jokic a top 10 player of all time?
Yes, that's where it was.
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's take our first break. We'll go longer in segment two as we break down the presser. Lots of good stuff in that presser.
Shady Rays, guys, great time get some sunglasses. They got a sale going on right now. You got to use the code DNVR. Perfect for summertime in Colorado. If you go to ShadyRays.com, just browse their selection. They have so many different styles, so many different colors. They got something for everybody. You can get 35% off polarized sunglasses at ShadyRays.com with the code DNVR, an exclusive sale just for DNVR listeners. Use the code DNVR, 35% off polarized sunglasses. Get ready for the summer. Sun's going to be out, we know, in Denver. 300 days of sunshine per year.
That's right.
A fact, undebatable,
even though
unquestionable, even though set in stone.
Even though it feels like right now the sun will never shine again.
300 days a year. You need Shady Rays. ShadyRays.com, use the code DNVR. 35% off. Get on it.
I'm literally on the site right now.
I see.
Playoffs are well underway. It's not too late to sign up and play fantasy. I suggest Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play, the easiest way to play fantasy sports. You don't need to draft a team right now to be watching the NBA playoffs and playing along. The pick'em entries are a fun way to just follow your favorite or least favorite players, or players you feel like you have a good read on. You're going to see a variety of stats that are presented. You choose higher or lower, and you're just building an entry from at least one player of either team in a matchup, and you'll see the multipliers change based off what you pick. Again, I think if you have a good read on your team, you might have some fun playing this. I've had some fun playing it. So sign up today with promo code DNVR and get a first deposit offer as well as an instant pick'em special in your lobby. That's Underdog Fantasy code DNVR. Scan the QR code on the screen or click the link in the description to sign up today. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org.
All right, back here, segment two, DNVR Nuggets podcast. We got the new shirt. Go to dnvrlocker.com to check out what is my favorite of the MVP shirts.
MV3.
The MV3. All right, let's go now to the presser, Wind.
My first note from the presser, I feel like every year that Nikola Jokic wins the award, his appreciation for it is growing little by little.
I agree.
You know, the first one, he really just actually didn't seem to care at all about it. Second one, I thought cared a little more. This one, the third one, I feel like his appreciation keeps growing exponentially. And he talked about it, and he talked about how, you know, now the list of guys who have won three straight is really, really short.
Very short.
It was eight. Now it's nine. And only nine guys have won three MVPs. I feel like he's very aware of that. He's very appreciative of that, and he's kind of humbled by the company he's with in that list of nine guys. So that's my first note.
I think so, too.
Yeah. He also said last year when I didn't win a championship, or when I didn't win the award and won a championship, I liked it more.
Which I kind of hate.
I hated that quote. There's still time, man.
I know. And I don't think he means it that way, but it definitely sounds that way.
What he meant was, I'm more about the team than my personal accolades, but it sounded like we didn't win it this year.
Unlike this year where we don't win it.
Where we suck ass. Like, hey, man, there's time.
Where we get swept in the second round. Way worse this way.
Draw in control.
Not even close in games three and four, because that was a real worse one.
I like it last year, but when you don't see what's coming in the next round. Oh, my God.
Of course, he shouted out.
Doesn't talk to media.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, he shouted out his family, his support system, the people who have been with him the whole time he's been in Denver. His family surprised him at the arena for like the actual presentation. He didn't know they were going to be there.
This all feels so casual. Like, once Denver flew half their front office and staff to Sombor to surprise him, and then once his family came into the building from down the street.
They're like,
45 minutes away, he noted.
And they're like, this year we got a meat and cheeses tray from Safeway.
I didn't know we were getting it. I didn't know we were going to have a charcuterie board, but it was just there.
That
was
so funny.
But one guy he did talk about in particular that really hit home was he talked about Deki.
Yeah.
Dejan Milojevic, his former coach, the assistant for the Warriors who passed away earlier this year. And he was asked a couple questions about him. Of course, he was wearing the Deki shirt. And, you know, he said Deki was a guy who was going to tell you how it is. He wasn't going to lie to you. He was never going to sugarcoat stuff. He was just going to give you the truth. And Jokic said that he's been wearing that shirt pretty much every day. And I mean, that's true. He does wear that shirt a ton. But especially when he's in the training facility. He said, Decky's a guy who gave me the freedom to do what I wanted on the court. He showed me how you're supposed to do things, train, act, work out, have positive energy. He trusted me. And, you know, I got to think that Decky is very, very high on the list if you were to ask Jokic in terms of people who have influenced and shaped his career to what it is today.
Yeah, no question about it, man. And I think also just somebody that he respected outside of basketball. Like, you think about every basketball player, you have the guys that you idolize, but then there's the, like, character you idolize. Because not only are you going through the sport and trying to navigate the sport, you're trying to, like, be develop as a human being while being one of the most famous people in the world. And I think that's one of the things, too, that he admired about him was that guy was also supremely famous and all these different things and was a great guy.
Yep. Then he also talked about how he'll probably have a lot more appreciation for this award. I think he said this after he's won every MVP, but after he retires. And he said when his kids and his family are watching his highlights, he thinks he'll be a cool grandpa.
It's actually a good perspective on it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to just tell you. You guys might not know this. I was a big deal.
It'll be awesome if that is actually how it is. Did you guys know?
Yeah.
I used to be in the NBA.
Dude, raise them in a way where they have no idea.
They're like, yeah, right? They're like, you didn't just hang around horses professionally?
Right. What is basketball?
You weren't a jockey?
Can you imagine if you found out that your grandpa was like a 3-time Super Bowl winner or something like that? Oh, never do.
Listen, I found a golf trophy in my grandfather's possessions after we were cleaning out, and he won the club championship one time, and I was like,
"You're like, that's cool. That is the club champion."
Yeah, I was like, "I come from championship stock,
hole in one.
You got championship pedigree.
Wow,
in your DNA." He was asked about what he loves most about playing in the NBA. He said, first of all, competing at the highest level. The second thing he said was competing against the best coaches." Which I thought was interesting.
It is interesting.
I love that he views them as his competition.
And then he said competing against the best players.
Yeah.
After coaches.
Competing against the best fan bases.
But also being there in the, you know, biggest moments and biggest games. Those are the most valued parts of playing in the NBA to him. And then, you know, he was trying to get coaxed into a greatest Denver athlete discussion.
Love it.
By some questions. You know, people were bringing up John Elway, Joe Sakic. He did not want to really engage in that discussion, but he has a really good sense of what he means to Denver, what he means to this city by now. And he said, look, Denver's going to be my second home forever. I like the respect also that the people in Denver show me. You know, if I'm hanging in the park with my kid, no one's bugging me too much. And on retirement, you know, 29-year-old asked about how long he wants to play in the league. He said, I'm going to play as long as I can play at the highest level and help my team win. I'm not going to take a spot from a young guy or put the franchise down.
All right. Can I tell you, first of all, how much I love this, love that line specifically? I'm not going to take a – because I – and again, I'm not saying Jokic is saying what I feel. I'm interpreting what I feel through Jokic's words here a little bit. But I've long said that I kind of hate the old generation and how much they suck the oxygen out of the room of all these young guys. And I love that Jok has an awareness of that dynamic of, like, we all have our time, and when it's over, we need to get out of the way.
Right.
To me, there's, like, an unsurprising wisdom to Jok in that.
Yeah, what he was saying is, like, I'm not going to be Shaq. Play 40 years in the league and then, like, wear every fucking uniform, look like a clown out there wearing a Celtics, do nothing. Yeah, do nothing for any team that I'm on past my prime.
It is funny that Shaq and Dwight Howard now both, like, talkie chirping a lot. I don't know if you guys have seen Dwight Howard really trying to talk about Jokic right now. And I'm kind of like, Shaq, this is what you sound like.
Yeah.
You now and Dwight Howard from a distance sound the same.
Also, I think some of what we learned from Serbian basketball as a program. There's a bit of torch passing there. There is a bit. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's also a bit of, you know, his inherent and natural attitude towards the game there's a time and a place, and it's about passing it on, and it can live longer the quicker you get off of it and pass it on to someone else. And, like, it's life, right? Like, as long as it keeps going, then your part, your role in that is, like, solidified and important.
Well, it's like the ultimate, or at least another example of just how in the present Jokic lives.
Like, yeah.
He's saying, you know, like, when my time is up, you know, it's like I will approach each moment and evaluate it honestly. And it's not like I need to be, I'm going to, you know, I need to play for 20 years.
Can we also just stop asking or talking about how long Jokic is going to play?
No, we can't.
Put an embargo on this. Why not? He's 29 years old.
I know, but this is.
He's going to play for a long time.
Man. But I feel this is just like your. You feel as though you have a degenerative disease, and so you're always wondering how long you're going to live.
I don't.
And for me, that's my fandom in the NBA. Like, it's dependent entirely on a bad heart.
Well, your heart, I have a feeling, is going to last at least 8 more years.
I think you're right. Point. What will last longer, Eric's heart or Jok in the NBA?
Well, this his heart really might die when Jokic retires.
I have quite a few Uncrustables at home, if that's if that factors it.
I have a lot of them.
Here's one more thing about this Jokic quote that is so important to me, though. Because I brought up, first of all, you can't convince me these guys don't all watch the show. Like, we know that there's a lot of people watching this or that. I have complained once before, not even complained. I have felt sadness, expressed sadness before, about the fact that I asked Jokic, and this has been 5 or 6 years, if he considers Denver a second home. That was the exact phrasing. And he says, I only have one home, and that is Sombor. And I remember being real sad about that and being real down. And I brought it up a handful of times on the show. Him saying that Denver is a second home to me is an evolution of how Jokic feels.
Yes,
and like, it's
yes.
natural. You live in a place for as long as he has 9 years now. It's going to mean something to you. But at the same time, his acknowledgement of that, and not just throwing it out as a throwaway line, but then talking about, he called it chill, which is my favorite thing you can compliment Denver as,
like,
chill.
He's like, this. My spot's got chill vibes.
He's like the birding is great. I love all of the mountain drives.
He's like, my Riz is on point here.
Love hanging out on 16th Street, Cheesecake Factory.
He was expressing a specific type of gratitude that means a lot to me, and it was that you guys all love me a lot, and I see it.
Yeah, that is cool.
And it was like, that was cool, man.
His gratitude is definitely showing.
It's on fleek.
Second home, baby.
Let me see what else I got here.
No, I love it, dude. I love it. It's a change of approach to that question.
I thought this was interesting. He kind of plugged 361.
It is a shoe.
I know, but he was asked about, you know, doing the commercials and sponsorships and stuff. And he said, look, 361, the shoe company he's with now, they showed great respect to me. When I wrote about them, they're actually really popular. They're really, and he called it an upscaling brand. He meant like a brand that's trending up, you know, giving a little quarterly report here.
Yoke's changing in some ways.
Little insight into the shareholder meeting at 361.
We have to acknowledge
trending up. You had a good, they're having a good Q2. Yeah. I said, maybe I can help them too in some ways. Then he said, it's the quality of the shoe that I really like. They made a shoe that the comfort is there.
I just love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was he going to be like, yeah, guys, I hate this fucking shoe. Thanks for asking me about it.
I mean, it's a buy for me right now. Like, I would buy stock in it. It's on my buy now list.
I mean, he literally has stock in it. So, of course, that's what he said.
I'm not complaining
it's really
about
an
it at
upscaling
all. I'm just
brand.
Saying he's been aloof to all of these things for so long. And now,
yeah, man, everybody they gave him a lot of money. Probably.
Everybody mentions their shoe deal in their MVP speech. Yeah. So, and Jokic for the first time also has one. It's
kind of crazy. Might have been contractually obligated.
I just say they look comfortable. I mean, I have a pair, and you would
you've never tried.
I'll never know if they're comfortable. I'll never put them on.
You would
my
never
feet.
Put them on.
Not once. That. No.
Maybe they're not
because they're mint condition.
They're
and you
pristine,
wanna,
and you know how stupid they would look on me.
Well, not that you would wear them. I'm just saying you'd put them on just to kind of see if they feel good.
Nope.
Not even gonna do that.
Nope.
All right. What else?
Final note. I've got my question from the presser. I asked him about Jokmus, what he remembers from that day. He said, I just remember saying, don't mess it up.
I love that.
Good job.
Didn't he was so good in that game. Yeah, good job. Mission accomplished. Yeah.
Didn't mess it up.
And then he said, also, I was thinking play the right way, and I think I did.
I would bet he did.
I love that answer from him.
I was just thinking play the right way. That was innate in him. Yeah. I, to be honest, remember that as well, being like, you know, at that time, even I'm a little bit new in the industry, and I'm saying, like, they need to play through Jokic.
Right. You have a lot of stock.
And it's like, yeah, you have a lot of stock. Like, oh, yeah, he's getting his start. If they get their ass kicked tonight, I know I'm going to hear about it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool, honestly, his speech. I thought it was cool that Jamal was there. I thought there was so much about this one that was just understated and little, but also natural to Jokic. And I'm
I just thought it was cool, and it was a good moment for us being in our darkest days. It was nice to be like, oh yeah, things were also pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good reset. I feel like, in the middle of this series, we needed it.
This is this little time off. It feels like the season ended. And we're going through a mini off season and then ramping back up for the season to start again. It really, like, truly, the way that that game went, like, we all needed to just sort of, like, step away. And it is honestly a godsend that that MVP presentation happened to fall in this time where it's just, like, we are at our lowest.
I will say, though, the fact that the NBA rolls out their awards in the middle of the playoffs is the weirdest thing ever.
And they have Shaq do it casually and angrily.
It's, like, the weirdest... It's the weirdest, like, schedule. Like, what are they doing?
I don't know.
It makes no sense.
NBA, have an awards show.
Well, they did that, and it was bad.
It was really bad, too. And also, like, you can't keep the secrets for that long. Like, even if you think about it, none of the awards that are coming out are surprised. Victor Wembanyama, Rookie of the Year. Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player. They're like, we got to wait a whole month.
But they could do it where they just reveal the winners. They don't have to draw it out, but, like, people don't have to be there. Yeah, but they could just, like, make a thing out of it, and it's like... I mean, I don't remember it before. I'm sure it was bad, but it doesn't have to be bad.
It was bad. Didn't Drake host it?
Yeah.
See, it doesn't have to be
like the ESPYs,
but it doesn't have to be like that where people come up and accept it or anything like that. They could just like have an announcement show where they, you know.
Yeah.
Also, really quick, originally before the series started, I looked at this long break and I went, wow, that's dumb. Thank God there's a
Thank
long
God.
It just feels like an extended timeout.
Needed
you know, like, you know, you're down totally like a 20 totally run and you're
an
like,
extended
Whoa.
Rage timeout.
No, this was a depression
just like
timeout.
5 minutes.
4 day rage timeout.
Stop me from this onslaught, you know? And the Wolves, if anyone thinks momentum is not a thing, like watch the first two, like the first eight quarters of this series. Like, my God.
Right.
The Wolves are, they've even said we smell blood in the water. Right. And it sure looks like it. So a long reset. A nice MVP trophy. Look, we are reaching, but it helps than having to hop right back into that for sure.
Also, just rest in general, I
just
think.
Just rest in general.
Like, how could you announce Nikola Jokic as the MVP winner with the potential risk that he won't be able to accept it at a home game this season?
They did
That's
it before.
Unbelievable. But he was,
he was you're right. They used to do it right on the game. That's why Hakeem, the famous Hakeem, sitting there watching Robinson get it.
Why did they not do it before game two or game
one? Well, freaking God, man, because that would have gone down as an all-time horrible
day
for us.
Or maybe they won the game.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like, that seems crazy to me. How could you risk not giving him the chance to accept it in front of his home crowd? Yeah. That's terrible.
That would have gotten that crowd going. It would have been a cool moment.
I actually have the answer. It's because they don't do anything right ever.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Adam Silver's full of ideas, you guys. Last thing here. Will this be his last MVP?
No. He'll probably win it again next year.
I would say yes, but Harrison made this proclamation last year and at the beginning of the season, and I fought hard against it, and here we are.
So you say yes now by proxy?
He's probably going to win it next year.
He is so good during every season.
The 65-game rule cuts the list of potential MVP winners down a lot.
Is that rule going to be around next year?
Probably.
I think it's a great rule.
But why? Actually. Like, who did it rule out?
It was more for, like, Halliburton came back and got re-injured. Yeah, and everybody blamed the rule
for it.
What's Halliburton, man?
But also, he wasn't good enough to win any of those awards anyway. Like, what would you have given him? Most improved, potentially, maybe?
No, well, he
exactly
is eligible.
No, he's eligible, but, like, he wouldn't have won. Like, nobody lost
the
award.
There was a lot of pushback to that, and I think
it was just earlier in the year.
Here's what I'm saying. Why was there pushback to it? Because nobody wanted Jokic to win it again. This year, there's a pushback. Shaq's opening it up with that. I just think this reminds me more of when Jokic won the second one than anything else. Where, and again, part of this is if Denver wins the title next year, I would be with you. I think he's winning it again next year then. But if they don't win, and right now being down 0-2, if they lose in the second round, I do just think it'll be like 2 years ago when people were like, he can't win four. He won last year and they lost.
Right. And then you come back. Go ahead.
And then you win.
The thing about the year he lost, he still finished second.
Yeah,
he's going to be in the conversation every single year because he's going to play 65 games. He's going to put up ridiculous numbers. The Nuggets are going to be really good. It's just basic math.
I think the other thing is the Nuggets burned themselves out this year. And I just think that there might be one of the lessons you might learn from this year is, do we have to play our guys as much as we play them and as many games as we play them? Maybe not.
I thought about this too, but
are you going to get a new coach?
It's not like the teams around them were resting or not trying to. Like, everybody was going towards the going for the number one
seed. Thing is,
like,
that the only thing is that's some of the what's working against the Nuggets is what they did better than everyone else last summer, which is go deeper and go longer. And so, like, that's part of what makes this stuff really tough. Repeating is you're actually playing a lot more basketball than everyone else, you know? And so I think this conversation just kind of gets compounded, this dynamic of exhaustion and injury.
Jokic has played the ninth most minutes. Nobody, the only one player ahead of him in minutes played, Anthony Edwards, which is basically the exact same number of minutes. It's the only guy that's still in the playoffs ahead of him. So
crazy.
I don't know. I just would not be surprised. At some point, Jokic has played, I think, more minutes than anybody over the last five seasons.
Yeah.
And at some point, that has to, you have to be conscious of that. I'm not saying he has to, like, start resting Absolutely. All the time, play Kawhi Leonard minutes. I'm just saying at some point, you probably look at Jokic and go, we got to, no matter what, find a way to cut off a couple games from his slate and let some other people do the dirty work in the regular season. Any other thoughts on this MVP? So you guys, I'm going to say no. I think this is his last MVP.
Ever for his career.
They
wow.
Gotta, look, man, I just think that the people, for whatever reason, are back to where they were 2 years ago, where they're mad he's winning them, and it's
I think
be
he's going to win at least two more. I'll say
two more.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's 29.
He's also incredibly consistent.
He is incredibly consistent. What do you think?
I don't think he wins it next year. I do think he gets one more. I think he finishes more. In the four club.
That would
he
be incredible.
Like I have a hard time imagining him win it next year, but I had a hard time imagining him winning it this year.
Yeah. Like, he'll win it every year after a title.
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what people are saying.
If they don't win it this year, next year it'll be like, we got to give it to someone else, and then the Nuggets will win the title. And
right,
then
right.
He'll come back.
That'll be my prediction. He'll win it every year after the title until he's 35. All right, let's take a break on the other side. Let's get into game three here. I got a couple takes, and I feel like I know the key.
The Game Time app. Nuggets tickets, Avs tickets, Rockies tickets. I saw the Rockies are up right now. What? They won.
The Rockies won? Yo, dude, it's turning around, man.
No, it's not.
Oh. Oh. I thought we were getting into the vibes reset.
No.
For the Rockies?
I was
trying.
All right,
to get our vibes right, guys, let's start with Rockies.
There was a tinge of tongue-in-cheek.
My uncle will, every now and again, I only hear from him when he wants to talk shit. And he texts me, he's like, looks like Denver's only claim to an actual professional team is going away. I'm like, you know where he lives in Dallas? I'm like, you know we're beating you in hockey right now, right? And then he used the Rockies against me, and I was powerless.
Game Time. They are now an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app, they actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. So that's a really cool feature.
That is cool.
Really easy and clean app to navigate. You're not going to get scammed on there. They have, you know, guarantees, so that doesn't happen. Game Time ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. They got zone deals, all-in pricing, seat views on the app as well. Make sure to download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Create an account, redeem code DNVR for 20% off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Take the playoff plunge at Circus Stadium Swim to watch your favorite teams during the playoffs. Use code DNVR20 at checkout for 20% off. Circa Resort and Casino is Vegas's first ever adults-only casino. It's got the world's largest sports book. It's got Stadium Swim, which is
man,
up on
look
the screen
at that
now.
Camera, man, look, that beautiful look, that hot air at it's night, gorgeous. Hot desert air.
Dude, I'm going to take the playoff plunge if this goes wrong and not reemerge.
Experience Stadium Swim and watch your favorite teams at Circa Resort and Casino. Book your stay with code DNVR20 for 20% off.
Love that, man. Go Circa. All right, back here, guys, and it's time to get into this game coming up. Here's my hot take. It's not even that crazy of a hot take. It's actually pretty muted. A couple things here. KCP, how many points would you guess he has in the series?
Zero. That's what it's felt like.
16.
He has 10 points
wow.
on just 10 shots. So not only is he, and that is, by the way, in 64 minutes, I believe. Not only is he not scoring, he's not shooting, despite the fact that he's on the court a lot. Aaron Gordon obviously has been struggling. I think physically in the series, one of the stories, the Nuggets really are just exhausted, and they're going to have to figure out how to not be exhausted, you know, later on in the series or for the rest of the series. But here's the other thing. KCP has not been able to defend Ant. It's not that he's a bad defender. We know he's not, but right now he can't guard him, and it might just be that it's a bad matchup. I think that this series comes down to defense for Denver, not offense. They had 80 points the other day. Comes down to defense. This is going to sound controversial. Minnesota is not that good of an offense. Even in this series, kicking Denver's ass, 116 offensive rating, which is very good. Very good. It's not great, but it's very good. What they are is a phenomenal defense, and that defense is two different defenses. After they score and are able to get set, and not after they score and they're in scramble. When they get set, they were the number one defense this year, but they were the number one defense with a 101 defensive rating after a made shot. They were 111 defensive rating after a defensive rebound, which was fifth. So they're good no matter what. But against Denver specifically, it is such a big deal that you get stops and play against them, not even in transition, but versus cross matches. Denver is guarding them different. Like, the matchups are different. Jokic's going to guard Gobert. Gobert does not want to guard Jokic. When you get a stop, not every time, but most of the time, you go in transition, and now Gobert's on Jokic. Their defensive scheme is cracked from the get-go. So that's a big part of it. And then if you look at Denver, there's not the difference. 106 after a made shot, that's fifth. 1.13 defensive rating, that's 11th after a defensive rebound. Denver also is not just worse, as every team is worse after, you know, in transition, but they are worse relative to the rest of the league in that. So right now, this is why I said this series can look more unbalanced based on momentum, because right now Minnesota is goading Denver in cross matches nonstop, and Denver is getting zero cross matches and having the ability to have the dog sicked on the ball handler and full court pressure. You take both of those things away, or at least reduce them significantly, if you can just get stops. So for me, Denver threw out their offensive lineups with Justin Holiday and tried to, you know, played KCP. We're going to go for spacing. Neither of those guys are scoring.
Right. Justin Holiday scored last game.
Wait, 16?
14, I think.
It was like four threes. Six from three.
And yeah. How many did Denver have as a team?
80.
And this is my point. Like, they're not also, here's the other thing. That swarming defense, Denver's not getting kickouts. It's not like the ball's popping and the ball's finding Holiday.
The ball's
and it's
popping as in it's getting popped.
It's getting popped. So if Denver cannot even get into their sets, do you have faith that Murray's going to overcome it? He's going to have to overcome some of that pressure. But more than anything, you have to get stops. So if that's what it's going to be, turn it into a defensive slugfest. Try to get stops and attack them in transition and take away the bite right now, that stranglehold that they have on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that line of thinking for sure. The Nuggets defense has been so bad in these playoffs. It was bad against the Lakers. It's been worse, I feel like, through these first two games against Minnesota. The fatigue factor is showing up a lot on that end of the floor, you know?
Jokic looks like he's not trying. He's so tired.
Yeah.
His defense has been awful in the playoffs. It was awful in the first two games of this series.
I know. He's not even hands up.
It looks like he's trying to save all his energy for offense, and it doesn't even seem like he's got a lot or enough on that end of the floor either. KCP is getting abused defensively in this series. His legs look done. He looks really tired as well. Same with Aaron Gordon, who's played a ton of minutes this season. He looks really fatigued too. They've got to find some juice defensively. I probably agree where, like, if they find a spirit on that end of the floor, it can translate to the offensive end as well. It could start there.
Yeah.
What do you think about? So for me, I look at it and I go, you have to commit to Christian and Peyton. You're worried about those guys making mistakes. Guess what? Low mistake basketball. You put veterans out there to make low mistake, not working at the moment. They're vulnerable in transition, but you have to get stops.
Yeah.
You have to do to them. Denver is a better offense than Minnesota as an offense. They were not a good offense this year. And even in this playoffs, like I said, when everything seems to be going right for them, the numbers are not crazy. 116. Denver does that on bad nights.
Right.
So the thing is, you've got to then make this a defensive battle. And I just think you have to say Christian and Peyton are going to make some mistakes. They're going to score off of that. But we need to fluster them at least one-tenth of the degree that they have flustered Denver.
I agree with that. I know Justin Holiday hit four threes in this last game. I think it's crazy how much he's been playing in the playoffs after really barely playing throughout most of the regular season.
He hasn't done anything wrong.
He's jumped Peyton Watson and Christian Brown right now in the pecking order, which
out of nowhere
is kind of wild. He played 16 minutes in game one, 22 minutes in game two. And yeah, the thinking is he can shoot the ball. And he, again, did make four threes that last game. it obviously didn't really help the cause.
No.
I will say, in the first game, which they also lost, which is a part of your point, the holiday minutes went very, very well for Denver. So I do think at the bare minimum, Christian Brown needs to play more. Oh, and yeah. I think you still want KCP out there in crunch time. I think if he can get
crunch time's different.
Of course, no, right. We're on agreement on this. So because he can get his ass kicked for 3.5 quarters and still make a play when it matters. I've seen him do it 100 times, even in this matchup, particularly. But maybe so that he's not running on fumes in the fourth quarter, there's more Christian Brown in between, because Brown with the starters has been okay. And like across the season, like there's been encouraging moments. And while it's been low volume, I think Christian Brown's arguably looked the best defending Ant in this series. So it's a low bar, but I think that at least like him playing as little as he has confused me. Peyton, I can at least understand it. Christian, I think definitely needs to be playing more.
I mean, again, they were down 30 at half. So to me, whatever successes there were from any of these rotational things are like, there's no success when you're down that much.
Yeah.
And then here's my big thing. If you have to say, okay, Denver is going to win the series by beating Minnesota in the half court all game long. They're just all game. They're going to walk the ball up. They're going to get half court. What has to happen? Well, one, Murray is going to have to be back to last year's Murray, which we don't foresee happening, at least not like snap your fingers and then it just happens. Yoke's going to have to go off. Porter's going to have to go off. KCP's going to have to go off. And Aaron Gordon is probably going to have to make an impact, you know, that he hasn't shown. So you're talking about five guys being meaningfully better, and one of those guys, the key guy in Murray, being 20 times better than what we've seen. To me, I look at that and I go, I give Minnesota credit, man. They're unbelievable in the half court, especially when they match up and get to set themselves and say, hey, you guys go pressure it because we've got your back behind you. Where they're very vulnerable, though, is, again, in cross matches. So for me, if you asked me, would you have a better odds with Yoke with KCP and good spacing on the court, scoring in the half court against the set defense, or Christian Brown, Peyton Watson on the floor, but now Murray and Jokic have to score against a little more of a clogged, albeit mismatched defense? I would say the second one. Do that one. And on top of that, Minnesota is just confident and comfortable right now because they're scoring as easily as they are.
Sure.
If you take that away, it does force a team to nothing. When I used to do the show with George Carl, he said the scariest thing in the playoffs is when you can't score. That's the scariest thing. What did we feel last game?
Oh, yeah.
Felt like you couldn't score, and it felt terrible. Even in a dogfight, if you make it so they can't score, they start to question, are we doing the right thing?
The Nuggets haven't been able to handle this pressure from Minnesota, and that pressure starting at half court.
Yep.
The Nuggets have been having to start their offense before half court. They can't get into anything. Like Jamal Murray hasn't been able to handle the pressure. Denver's ball handlers have struggled like getting into offense. That pressure from Minnesota, the swarming pressure, has been the number one thing that's thrown the Nuggets off offensively.
Are there small things Denver can do, like AJ brings the ball up the floor more, or does that take you out of what you also want
to
do?
No, you have to do it, I think. But here's the problem. I think that was one of the adjustments they had ready.
I know.
Then Gobert wasn't there. Because the reason the reason AJ can bring the ball up the court is Gobert's guarding him. Well, when he was out, you can pressure Gordon too.
I agree.
So I think that is one way to alleviate some of the strain is to allow Aaron Gordon to bring the ball up the court. Gobert's not stepping out the paint to full court press him. So that's one thing I expect to happen. I think there's some tweaks, but more than anything, conceptually, when I think, how does Denver win this series? How does Denver win game three? Forget the series. How do they win game three? I just don't see it with them, their offense somehow finding a rhythm in the half court. It's going to find it better than it's been, I hope. But it's not going to find 30 points better in the half court. They're going to find it by changing the game. And you change it by saying, okay, we tried to outshoot them and space them. Didn't work. We don't have that. Let's grind it. Let's get on their level and try to grind it out and trust that our guys can create transitions.
The other thing that you really do have to look at, it's difficult. You have to just completely forget everything that happened the last game.
Yeah.
Because there's just, I mean, you're like, wow, there's nuts. Like, if this is what it looks like, this is no contest. There's just no hope. In the first game, the Nuggets had the opportunity to do what they've done time and time and time again, which was to out-execute the Wolves in crunch time and actually win that game. And that slipped away from them.
And give the Wolves credit. The Wolves took it. I don't even think it slipped away from them. The Wolves took it.
Fair enough. But they were in a position where they typically, you would chalk it up as a guarantee that the Nuggets would win. So it's not so far away in my eyes that they could get over. But so we'll see.
I think game three mirrors game two a lot more than or game one a lot more than game two. Yeah, a lot more than game two. But like I said, Denver, I just think the Wolves, it's weird because offense and defense are not separated, and I think Wolves' defense will look a lot worse if Denver can get stops and turn those in. Then you'll be like, okay, that's vulnerable. They're not juggernauts.
I agree.
All right, guys, to get out of here, we gotta pick up the vibes. Well, vibes have been down.
I know, we got a video for you.
Mike Boonholzer emerging as the front runner for the Suns job. That might pick up your vibes a little bit.
That does pick it up. Look at this graphic. What is Eric our son?
I'm the son, yeah.
Oh, it's like Teletubbies.
Yep.
I look like a woman. I'm in a woman's bathing suit.
I would say a girl. No, that's a tank top.
I would say a girl.
Oh, are you sure?
A tank top, yeah.
Boat is our child, okay. I see, okay? Like, yeah, he's out there just in this floaty.
There's a real picture of me in Hawaii. I was in that tube float for probably 6.5 hours.
Dude, a good float.
I did not move.
On a pool or on the water is the best. Because you're just in the water enough to not be too hot.
Oh, it's great.
We have first things to get our vibes up. You want to introduce it, Eric?
Well, no, I was going to. I didn't know because I wanted to say that the Wolves have also come under scrutiny from the media, the national media. And I just wanted to show an example. Like, we're not the only fan base that is subject to media scrutiny.
The coastal elites.
Not being given credit. So I don't care.
Big market Denver.
Do you have the clip? Like let's it's unfair.
Well, I haven't seen this clip. What is this clip?
After game one, I heard people call Wolves fans adorable.
There's nothing more adorable than the Wolves fans who have won one game in a second series that are so overconfident.
You know, I heard they really need to go through some adversity first. They really need to go through some stuff. Like, bitch, have you watched the last 20 years? This team is different.
Is that it? I thought you said there was a bunch of clips.
I'll say this. Shout out to the Timberwolves and our guys, Kyle and Dane, man. Shout out to them. That's well done.
Big market D-line?
It's well what done we by them. Done. Well done.
It's what you do. I've never seen myself in the same light as, say, Shannon Sharp, Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith. And it turns out I'm the best version of all.
it was so dark, too, though. What was that about?
Well, that's what you do. You take it, and then
big money media at DNVR.
Those are such nice guys. I love the part where Kyle called you a bitch. Well, do you ever respond to that?
Can you bring it in close, Kyle? That's me. My internal temperature is much too high. I'll just say this. No, I have not been watching the last 20 years of Wolves basketball.
I do like that. You have to update on all of our trials and tribulations, dude?
Yeah,
no. Did you figure out the pulse here?
Yeah, and that's on me. That's on me. I've also not watched the Kings, the Magic, or even, the Detroit Pistons.
My favorite part is that you're media too.
The whole part is that
I mean, you're in the locker room. You know, you're you're talking to guys off the record. Hey. You're really getting the pulse of this team from that.
I'm honestly happy for the guys. It's what we would have done.
Oh, 100%.
In fact, 100%. I'm sure we did it today. I think we did.
Here's my attempt at picking up the vibes. The vibes revamp here, guys. I said it the other day, but I really mean it. To become a legend, you have to do something legendary. The 3-1 comebacks, those are things we talk about with nothing but fondness. The 7, nothing but fondness. Why? Because the odds were stacked against them, and they came back and they did it. Down 0-2, and you lost games, those two at home. To me, every challenge is an opportunity. And I look at this one and I go, if you emerge from this 2-2, if somehow you go out there and win both of these games, that's so legendary. Next thing you know, you're back right on top. Your mojo's back, and this becomes a thing of it becomes part of the Jokic, Murray, and the Denver Nuggets lore. And as much as it sucks and you wallow in your own pity, at a certain point you go, wait a second, will they ever be in position where they drop the first two games as a higher seed and now they have to go on the road? This might be the only chance they ever get to do this.
Ooh.
And sometimes
now
it's
that's
like
a spin.
I'm serious. You I might never get a We're chance like this zone. Again. So you know what? Take advantage of it.
If they come back and tie this series up 2-2, the story about Nikola Jokic getting his MVP down 0-2.
Oh, it's a great story.
Him and Jamal in the locker room during that presentation, you know, grinding through tape over the last day or so. Just them two. You know, they're the only ones. Them having them meeting and talking and finding a way to come back from this. The picture of them will live in infamy.
Yeah, man. Listen, if the Nuggets somehow pull this off, no one should ever talk. No one will ever be able to talk to us again. In any, when we're trying to get a bank loan, go to get food in a drive-through, like the seas will have to part. We will be untouchable. We got to get there first. And if you're asking me if I was going to put my faith in an organization to do something that I didn't expect, it would be the Nikola Jokic-led Denver Nuggets, who already have accomplished more than anything we ever, in our hearts, truly believed was possible. There is no chance that I would write this team off until I am forced to.
You can't write them off until the final buzzer sounds and they're eliminated.
There is no chance. And, you know, to the adorable Wolves fans, all I'm saying is you don't know what it's like till you've been there. And you guys haven't quite been there yet. You've not faced adversity yet in this playoffs either.
Yeah, bitch.
And bitch, I'll tell you this. It looks bad. When things are bad, like you, things have not looked bad for you guys yet. It's not an indictment of you, the fan base. None of you adorable denizens of Minnesota should feel bad about feeling good about the Wolves. I'm just saying, like, just hold on before you get too overconfident. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, bitch. Look, I'm not trying to. It's down. We're down bad. It does not look good. And Wolves fans have every right to feel the way they feel, man. They should feel good. This is the way that it is going. I will say the last time I felt this down bad about not just the Denver Nuggets in the moment, but the big picture.
Yeah.
Jokic, everything we're doing here together. Last time I had that much concern was the Utah series. And simply put, yes or no, did he respond?
Yes.
He did.
Yeah. He did. And Jamal Murray
did. And yes. So did Jamal Murray. But I'm talking about Jokic, too, because Jamal was there in that series. He was ready to go. And we had doubts about Jokic after game three. We had doubts about the kind of player that he is. He just picked up his third MVP in 4 years. He is the 9th player in NBA history to win at least 3 MVPs. So, yeah, most teams are absolutely screwed.
Yeah.
Most teams in this position also don't have Jokic. The Denver Nuggets do. Your Denver Nuggets have one of those 9 players. Now, that alone was unfathomable not too long ago. Not too long ago, the one trophy they've already raised was unfathomable. So it does not look good, but it is not over, and it's not over as long as Jokic is in a Nuggets uniform.
100%, man. I'm with all of that. And again, I'm not saying the odds are in Denver's favor here. They're not. They're way against them.
But there are
two types of fans. There are the ones that like to just be purely logical of this or that. There's the ones that say, like, F it. Till it's over, till we're dead, we're going to talk our shit.
Yeah, and the first ones are bloodless analysts, and the second one are fans. If you're approaching this in a way, you're like, oh, well, like, what are you doing? Go watch spreadsheets. Like, this is sports. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get the irrational part of your brain engaged. You're supposed to believe in something. You're supposed to have no control over a situation and allow your emotions to be controlled by it. You're supposed to believe in the unbelievable. That is the whole point of sports. That's why they occupy this station in our lives. Sports are completely arbitrary. The act that we're following, it's the stories that surround them. It is the lore that is born from them. It is everything that is bigger than the game itself. And if you count it out, you're missing the good stuff, man. Like, there's no point in only being around when things are going good. You have to be there when things are going bad because it makes the good times so much sweeter.
It's that scene in Braveheart right now where they're all, you know, the Brits deliver them the term, or the English, I should say, yeah. Brits deliver them the terms, and they all just, like, moot them or whatever, flash them. And then what?
Bitch, you want to see me? That's moon you? I'll do it.
And they're like, What are they doing? And it's like,
maybe on this show.
Bitch, man, have you seen my last 20 years? Guys, I will moon you.
The whole theme of last year, and I know it's this year now, I get it, but the whole theme of last year was looking fate and history in the eyes and saying, like, if we'll die before we run. We'll die before we run. Yeah. Let go of hell. It's not 3-0. It's not 3-1. It's 2-0. Yeah. Like, go down swinging, man. As a fan, there's no shame in it.
Hell yeah. All right, what super chats do we have?
So, Budenholzer to the Suns.
Yeah,
for sure. That's not, I just saw that. Yeah. Vogel's out.
Thor Johannesson. He's assembling a
staff. I'm sure there's optimism here.
Shaq just hates because Jokic passed him on the all-time lists.
Could not, not in the Atlantas.
Yeah, that was a weird abbreviation. Just seeing Thor in the U.S.
Shaq's
just
got
means
four
Atlanta.
Times. I'm still a guy that I still ring culture to me is not totally wrong. Like, I still think guys need to win. So
yeah,
is he past Shaq? I don't know.
Big Namek, Shaq, one-time MVP, all-time MVP.
Oh, that's MVP. So good. The MVP, that's a really good one.
I think there's something to it.
That's the evolution.
The funny thing is, why didn't Shaq win more MVPs? Didn't take the regular season because
he never tried. Yeah,
can't be mad, bro.
It's out of shape.
Druid trading. A win in game three means, worst case, we're probably playing game six to bring the match point back to Denver in game seven. Best case, we go to game 5-2-2 and favorites yet again. Game three, all in, baby. All Let's the Nuggets go. Are
if
good.
The Nuggets get these next two.
Don't let us get one.
Don't let us get one. But if we get two.
Don't let us get two.
They're the favorites again.
THTR underscore 201. I hate to bring negativity to the podcast.
Do you? Do you hate it?
But DNVR needs to be better, and that starts with putting some of the blame on these last two losses on Will Barton.
You had me at the beginning. You had me at the first half.
It's a valid point. It's a discussion we probably should be having.
Does this team only want the bag? Do they want the banners?
Oh, man.
It's a good point.
Oh, man. Kevin, is Joker the kind of person that will use what Shaq said about him as the MVP to be a motivator, or is Yoke just an ho-hum kind of guy?
We've seen him respond.
I would wager that it is in the back of his mind. It will be in the back
of his mind. We watched him coyly respond to the media all last year when the stat padding, the gross part of the MVP race came up, and he gave a sly nod to it and then dominated afterwards.
People love to write this stuff off like it doesn't affect him. I think that him not being accepted in the inner circle of NBA superstars has rubbed him the wrong way. I think him getting picked by LeBron last in the All-Star draft is in the back of his mind still, even though people like to write that stuff off. I think that is stuff he thinks about still. So maybe this will join the list.
Also, like, there's just so much gatekeeping in the old head NBA. There's so much, like, the old heads of the NBA hate the European influx in the NBA. They hate it. You'll notice that they want Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but they don't talk about Luka. Like, they're like, oh, this guy scored 30 points 50 times. It's like, yeah, but Luka led the league in scoring.
Do you know how many times Jokic could score 30 points?
But I'm just saying, like, it's just, you can read through 82
times.
You can read through the lines of the criticism that is being levied pretty easily if you want to.
All right, what else do we got? The boy's dad. One team's worn out, 102-game season, shortest summer. Regular season 23-24 versus 22-23. Plus games, more games played by Jokic, MPG, AG, more starter minutes, more reliance on starter scoring, too many Reggie minutes for this point in his career.
I would agree.
Yep.
I do. I agree. I think that'll be a story we discuss when the season ends.
Yeah.
Second one. Thank you. Number two, KCP, regular... KCP, Reggie, Maul injured legs, not just hurt, impacts shot technique. Jokic, back wrist, hurt more than we know. May win game three on guts, character, pride, five at home, seven, nope. Oh, man. Embrace extra month to recover.
The boy's dad, who would be in attendance
for a game seven, doesn't even want to see it.
Yeah.
He's not about that.
He's making a 3-2-1 Cancun shirt right now.
Yeah, he really is.
Terrible. Come on, boys. That'd be better.
Belou, I went back and watched the losses in the 2020 playoffs. We lost three in a row to the Jazz with a 40-point loss. We lost to the Clippers by 20 in game one. No worries.
100%, man. They were down 20 points with 15 to go.
Remember the dancing girlfriends?
Oh, yeah. Friends and family section was popping.
And we'll close on a similar note. Mustafa Jones, on Tuesday, I watched the old DNVR pod after game three, and there were similar vibes.
Oh, man.
It gave me hope. Nugs and six. Let's go.
Let's go. That's
That's what I was talking about, baby.
I've got been here before. Dude, there's something so beautiful and mortifying that so many of our thoughts are recorded indelibly on the internet.
So true.
Oh, I know.
I went back and watched the show after Tim Connolly left, and boy, was I fucking pissed on that show.
Me too.
Everybody, DNVRLocker.com's got the new MV3 shirt. Throw it up one more time, Kale, for everybody to see. Look at that work of art. D-Line was in the kitchen, man. He was cooking. Get that shirt, celebrate, and get your vibes back to speed. We'll see you tomorrow for Game 3.
We all silly like the mayor.